Welcome to Discover Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard. We've got a DF4Q episode today. As you know, the DF4Q is the Discover Film Four Questions. That's your favorite films, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and a film that is lesser known that you want people to seek out. Today, the DF4Q is going to be answered by Alex Merkin. Alex is a great director, really busy guy. If you listen to his podcast, you'd know he's got 7 films completed, and he's actually doing an 8th, and that's features. There's also 4 shorts and a TV series for Cinemax. And on top of it, Alex is actually a really cool guy, has good taste in films, and I was happy to talk to him. No more setup necessary. Let's hear from Alex. Based upon what I've heard, the fact that your dad's a film buff. You grew up going to film.
I know. You're going
to
be disappointed.
You're a talented dude.
You're going to be really disappointed.
No, I'm not. I'm so
non-committal and like so hard to like. I have such a, like every time I'm like, do I like that? But no, but I also like that. And so I'm one of those people who like overthinks everything like that. But yeah, no, I'm ready. Sure, let's do it.
Here, go ahead. You remember?
Okay. What? Okay. So
the first thing is favorites.
Oh, favorite films, man. Now, and limited to 3, right?
Well. Just give me whatever
so
you need
hard,
to.
So hard.
Some people just automatically do 5, and I don't stop them.
Yeah. So very recently, I mean, I think my 3 most recent favorite films are Old Country for No Country for Old Men, Children of Men, and Fight Club. Maybe are the 3 like more the younger films on my list. But I love Sunset Boulevard is one of my favorite movies. Casablanca, Jaws. Psycho. I mean, I just.
Did you hear that doorbell in the background? That was filmmaker Che Baker from Australia showing up early for his podcast interview. First time ever I scheduled 2 filmmakers on the same day, and wouldn't you know it, they were here at the house at the same time. Anyway, I had to take a break, make a little coffee for Che. Then we started up again, which is kind of a drag because Alex was on such a groove and we were laughing and having a good time. And then we had to take a break when the doorbell rang. But anyway, let's get back to Alex. You're going to notice the energy changes, but it's still a great list. Let's get back to it. Obviously, I could go on about movies forever.
Right. Yeah. No, me too. And that's kind of the problem. It's like it's hard to qualify like what's I even sometimes when I just watch the award aspect of it, because you just like these, there's so many different types of movies and so many different, you know, and different categories of how movies would have, I don't even know how do you compare these projects?
I mean, we know that the Oscars were a publicity tool that old Hollywood came up with to make us go see movies, and it still is, and it still fortunately and makes us go see slightly better movies, I think.
Yes, and it does make us go see more obscure movies in a lot of ways, which is nice.
But like No Country for Old Men being your top, I love it. I'm a huge Coen Brothers person since Blood Simple, but the year it won Best Picture, I was kind of upset that it didn't go to There Will Be Blood. Because to me,
I love that movie too. I love that movie too, but
I was like, that's
but I will watch. I totally agree with you. It's a great film. I will always, when I want to study cinema, I still go back to No Country for Old Men before I would go back to There Will Be Blood. And that's, for me, one of the things where I would just look at the construction of some of the scenes and some of the shots and some of the moments in that movie. And I love There Will Be Blood, and I love, and it's the same, like the year that Fight Club came out, when Magnolia came out, and that was a year that I was, fascinated with that movie, Magnolia. I loved it. And what happened, I think, the Beauty, American Beauty won that year, and that was one of those movies where...
Yeah, which is also a great film.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, that was, I think, one of my favorite years for cinema, and... You know, since I can remember, but it was just,
and really long term, in a lot of ways, Fight Club is the best of the group,
right? And it's just such an amazing accomplishment too. At the time, it was just so you just hadn't seen anything like that. And I remember when that was a movie when it's not underrated anymore, but when it first came out, it was just panned and people wouldn't see it. And I just remember going through when I was in college and just being like, "Oh, you guys are all gonna regret these reviews," because I just remember thinking this movie's classic, it's great, but
and the rare film that most people I know say it exceeded the material. It was better than the book,
right?
Like I know lots of people like the book. They're like, "No, the movie's better than the book,"
right?
And right. Like when you talked about Jurassic Park and how you're disappointed at first, everyone I know who had read the book before the movie was disappointed
right.
because the book has
so many moments and so many things that, I was so excited to see on screen and imagine. But I learned to, it was a weird experience for me because I learned to like love and appreciate what was put on camera, you know what I mean? And what ended up in the movie. And
really film, you have to see everything twice.
Right.
Because the first one you're dealing with your expectations, and the second one you're seeing the film for what it is.
True. It's true. And so many people don't see it twice. And that's,
And now with 24-hour streaming services and millions of films to see.
It's too much. There's so much material and so much good television that,
catch TV up. Is so good.
It's so good. And how do you, it's like almost impossible. Like, I don't know. Why do I want to go to the, why do I want to go to pay money at the movie theater when I can watch,
something and I really liked all the films I'm rushing around to see that got nominated that I didn't happen to see. And you know, some of them I'm like, yeah, that might be good to see again, but I'm not gonna.
For me, when I'm working on set, you get so exhausted and you get no time to yourself, and sleeping 3 to 4 hours a night because you get home and then you're prepping for the next morning, and then that morning you're prepping for that day of shooting. And then I love to just, while I'm doing that, whenever I can, as soon as I get a chance, I just like to go sit in a movie and a movie theater, and just it feels like going to temple and just relax, and you know, it's
which is wonderful. It's wonderful to hear you say that, because you know, I have friends who own recording studios who are like, I don't even like to listen to music anymore. And I know I have friends in the film business, more on the business side, but you know, in acquisitions and distribution, who are like, yeah, I don't enjoy sitting through movies anymore.
That's crazy to me. I want to get a big thing of popcorn, and I want to sit down and just. No, lose myself.
Those great things to shake on.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're doing pretty good over there. So, yeah.
Well, let me ask the question too, which is going to be tough for you, I guess. But
sure, definitely.
But underrated.
So yeah, that's desserts. Actually a really hard one, because a lot of underrated movies that I think of as underrated, I also like, then I'll look them up and I'm like, well, people definitely appreciate this movie. I don't know that it's got, like, I would consider a movie like Children of Men underrated in the sense that where it stands in cinema, that's a movie that should have been, you know, or I think of a movie like Zodiac, which I think is really just, I love watching that movie, and you know, it's good. Yeah. It's a good movie, but it's like, I see it.
Yeah, I mean, Children of Men is, I think, held in super high esteem in the film community, but in the world at large, it might be overlooked vastly.
Yeah, I think so, because I don't know. Just there hasn't been a lot that sort of met up to that standard.
Yeah, I mean, it should be as beloved as Fight Club.
Right. Exactly.
And Zodiac is a really good pick, I think, for underrated.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, to me it's a, that's one I can't not watch whenever it's on, and some of those scenes are some of the, like that scene in the basement is one of my favorite scenes to watch over and over again. I just, so simple and just so perfect. David Fincher is one of those guys that I just have so much respect for, in terms of the craft. And it's really interesting because I think he's just probably the best at his craft, but at the same time, I like a lot of his movies, and I really only love two of them. And then I strongly like a bunch, but nothing really beyond those two moves me in the same way. Do you know what I mean? So it's interesting because he's just so powerful.
He's so Fincher. Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? And it's so, he's just so well crafted and so interesting to me, but yeah.
It's funny because you're talking about it makes me think that, like an underrated that I could put out there is his Alien movie.
That's interesting, yeah.
Because totally. I think that one got trashed.
Totally.
And I think that's as good as any movie since the first.
And that's the type of movie I try to think about when you ask the question. Because it's like, what are movies that like people don't really look at as good movies? That's a great one to look at.
Yeah.
I think it's because it was such a different film from the previous two. And it was like, it was so dramatically different tonally that it was very hard. It's almost the same way that when people went to go see Eyes Wide Shut, they were expecting a completely different movie, the way they marketed that movie. And then when people went in to watch it, I just remember I remember the marketing for that film and the response to people who went and saw it, and they were just expecting a completely different movie than the movie that they were.
As a Kubrick fan, all I took home from Eyes Wide Shut is, well, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman just must be the worst people on earth. Because I just picture Stanley Kubrick in there in London, like, going home at night and, like, just saying to his wife or whomever, these people suck so bad. I can't make a good movie with these two.
I don't know. I have no idea what he was saying, but it's really interesting. That's not a movie that really, it's not, definitely not one of my, anywhere in the vicinity of Kubrick movies that I love. But I do think a lot of, I do think it was just, it's very interesting what your expectations can do to,
oh yeah,
your, you know, to your how you receive a film. And so it's, I've seen a lot of movies that are just advertised as one thing, and then they, you know, and then you get people in the seats, and then they're like, wait, what am I watching?
It's the expectations game is so tough as a viewer.
Yeah.
Well, so, what I really want to hear is your overrated pick.
I think Avatar might be an overrated movie, and not because I don't like it, just because of the, just, I'm just talking about the, where it ended up in comparison to what it is. You know what I mean? Can you watch that movie a million times?
Wait, which one?
Avatar. I said that's where it ended up in the race for the best picture. I actually would say both of the, I love James Cameron, but I would say both of those movies, both of his returns to the Academy were pretty. I'm just saying in the sense of,
yeah, you mean Titanic and Avatar
are movies are
if you were to rank the Camerons, those are his last two.
Right, those are not movies that I need to watch again. I'm not saying, now, this is not me saying those are not, that they're not, there's nothing to those movies, and this is, these are terrible movies, or these are whatever. Yeah.
No, overrated.
I'm just saying,
doesn't mean it's a bad film.
I'm just saying,
you could love a film and say it's overrated.
Totally. They've just achieved the pinnacle of being the two highest grossing movies of all time, as well as one of them won the Oscar, and the other one was very closely in the race to win the Oscar, the right? So
yeah, it was.
Right?
It
so
was.
They were,
but
they had both,
to his ex-wife to tell him to fuck off.
Exactly. Exactly. But so I would say I don't know how you, it's almost hard to argue against those two movies because they're just, they, to reach those
my
levels.
I can only argue with you in one way, which is I'm not sure Avatar is praised anymore. I think a lot of people are on board with you on,
okay,
Avatar.
Maybe they are.
It's not overrated anymore. But yeah, at the time,
I mean, it was nominated. It is the highest grossing movie of all time. And I'm sure the next one will come out and do pretty well.
Are they making like five more? Wasn't it like some super ambitious?
But so, you kind of have to look at like what is considered. I don't know. I guess I would say almost every Marvel and Star Wars movie for me feel overrated. I enjoy some of them, but they all feel like they are praised like the greatest things. And it really, the noise for me makes it hard to focus on what is good and what's not good, because there's a lot of the stuff that's like, it's decent, it's fair, or it's mediocre, or it's not bad. It feels a lot like watching, like, the, especially with Marvel, it feels very episodic televisionization of like film, where you kind of can't tell what movie, what.
Except they don't go back and shoot the first season of Seinfeld again.
Yeah,
all the reboots. Like,
no, but right now,
all the different Spider-Man and different Superman.
But at this stage with Marvel, they're not redoing that. So, so what they are doing is kind of like,
Marvel finally brought Spider-Man into this universe.
Right, but it's just like, it's hard to know. Like, okay, so what episode of the Avengers did this happen in? Because I can't remember what this is and that is, and which one's a Civil War and which one's an Avengers movie. And that kind of stuff. I did really like the new Thor movie. I thought that was actually the one that, to me, stands out as a memorable. I think Guardians, the first Guardians was good, although the second one really...
That was really good.
Yeah.
Guardians was really good.
Well, I think the second one was way overrated, but...
It got panned too, didn't it?
No, I mean, so panned, but like, I'm sure it's in the 80th percentile of... Right, you know what I'm saying? So is that panning a movie? That's panning for, I guess, a Marvel movie, because they're supposed to land around between 90 and 93, but
yeah.
I wouldn't say a movie that ended up anywhere in the 80 to 85 range has been panned, you know? So...
Yeah.
I know, again, yes, there are a lot of bots and a lot of things that are, you can certainly purchase a lot of reviews, and you can certainly really move the needle on those things. I've seen that stuff happen. You can move the needle on IMDb ratings and all those things too. And You see just a lot of these. Again, if it's going to land in that sort of classic level, you know, that classic space, I'd like it to be a better movie. I'm not a... What did you think of Dunkirk this year? Did you watch that one?
Yeah. So, I kind of have a Dunkirk speech.
Go ahead. I'll listen.
My speech on Dunkirk is, so I remember when Saving Private Ryan came out, and my friend Steven and I hung out, had dinner. No, but he was like, war is horrible, so I'm going to make the opening scene the most intense thing ever to deglorify war. And I kind of like said to him, I was like, you know, actually, it still makes war look really cool. Like, anything on film is glorified because you're putting it on a 30-foot wide thing.
It was horrible, though. It was a horrible thing to experience.
It was awful to experience, but it's still, you didn't walk out going, ooh, I never want to hold a gun again. Like, I don't know.
I wouldn't want to be in those situations. I mean, I watched that going, I felt way more. What I was impressed with in that for me was, I hadn't really ever seen it in that you know, presented in that way, and I had never seen him sort of the experience of watching that was unlike any cinematic experience I had.
It was, I didn't totally buy the idea that he presented it as this is the way to not glorify war. Chris Nolan comes around, and he's pulling the Kubrick thing where he's like, you know, when Kubrick said, okay, I'm going to make a war movie, I'm going to make a horror movie, I'm going to make a this, like just all the genres. So Chris like, I'm going to do my war movie. And by making it about an evacuation, I thought it was the most effective film ever made to deglorify war.
Interesting.
And make you completely horrified by war in every way. And throughout the whole film, you're not rooting for a victory, you're rooting for survival, and you're rooting to escape war.
If you're rooting
at all.
Yeah.
Well, I was rooting for those souls to be saved.
I had a different experience for it, and which is just that it was hard for me to not find any place to come into the story for some level of connection, and it sort of felt like when you walk into a movie that's been on for a couple, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and you just don't really know the characters or the, like, right. It's like, I can appreciate that this is made
right.
Well.
So you actually didn't care about any of them.
I cared about nobody, and it made
me
disengage more.
Which was your Rogue One experience.
Right. I just disengaged, and I disengaged in a way, cinematically, as a cinematic experience, it just made me, as it went on, I became more and more disengaged because I just, at no point, I just didn't find my path into the film. Do you know what I mean? I appreciated the cinematic work that was going on, and at the same time, could not find my path into the story.
That's interesting because I was pulled in, and I cared about
people have a it's weird. I've heard a lot
about the guy who stripped the uniform off the soldier.
Yeah, I honestly, it's hard for me to remember aspects of it because I had a.
I also geeked out and made sure, like, I have a rule with a lot of films where I have to see it on the IMAX up at Universal.
See, I didn't do the IMAX one. I do love seeing stuff there, though. I love going to the...
I'll pay $25 to see something. And actually, it's J.J. Abrams' fault that I do this, because when Force Awakens came out, he was like, there's 8 screens in the country that are full-size IMAX DLP.
Right.
And if you don't see it there, you shouldn't see it. And I was like, all right, I'll give it one try. And I saw Force Awakens up there, and I was like, okay. So I went there for Planet of the Apes, and I went there for Jungle Book.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I love going there. Yeah, I'll spend the money on that, too. It's
And when my nephew visited from Michigan, he's like 13. I'm like, you want to go see Dunkirk with me?
Yeah.
So I took him and my brother. So I might have liked it more because I watched it up there.
Ah.
And I always, you know, like, I know my seat. I got to be... I-13.
Where is that? Is that all the way?
It's middle, basically.
Oh, I like to go all the way. It's weird because I like to be middle in every movie theater, but in the IMAX, I actually like to be in the last row. I can be in the middle because I just get the full view of that.
Full back, you mean?
Yeah. Well, I have glasses, and if I can't see everything in the frame, then I'm
right.
You know what I mean? If any part of my frame starts to cover.
I mean, Dunkirk was nice up there because it was 70 millimeter and not 3D.
That's cool. I would have liked to see that in IMAX. I didn't.
And I admit that that might have been one of the things that pulled me in.
Yeah. I mean,
But I do like having being there where it's just close enough that if they start to turn this way, you
feel it. Yeah, that's cool.
You know?
I want to do that 4D, that cinema 4D crazy stuff where your seats are moving a little bit.
Actually, out of respect for the other fella, sure. I got to ask you that lesser-known film that people should seek out.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like people know about these movies, so that's the harder, you know what I mean? I think a movie like Brick, people should see. A movie like Moon, people should see. I think those are really interesting movies that are sort of lesser known.
They're both really good.
Yeah. But I also think people who know about cinema do sort of know those movies.
Yeah, although a lot of people I meet haven't seen Moon.
Really? I think Moon's a really interesting movie, yeah. I would say those are two movies I'd put on that.
If you're thinking that Alex and I talked for a lot longer than that, of course you're right. Man, we talked about everything, the superhero movies, Fast and Furious, Star Wars, MoviePass. I told him about this show scan thing I saw back in the 80s. But in the end, these DF4Q episodes are about having a shorter podcast that you can listen to and just enjoy. So let's wrap this up. Go to discoverfilm.net. You can look at Alex's film, This Modern Man Is Beat, there, as well as a lot of great other short films, and some links to some great feature films. And you can also get the links to the film festivals that I program. That's Film Invasion LA, that's going to be in June, and the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, that's every November. You can link over to my site to learn about me. And I think we're cool. Thanks for listening.